Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. This Sunday, I took my wife and my little daughter, who's 11, and she does a little Bible study. And there's about 10 or 12 little girls that come to my house. And so we took them, and every year we take them in a little trolley deal, and we bring them to, we do Christmas caroling. I want to share this story because it was on my heart this morning. But we show up, and we're at the Bridge Point off of College Saloon Nursing Home. And we've been doing this every year for, I think, 10 years. And we're there with the little girls. I'm, you know, my wife is, good morning. My wife is with them, they're singing. All the elderly are coming, getting rolled into the rooms. And so they're singing to them. And I'm sitting there with my wife's phone, and I'm taking videos and camera and pictures and doing the whole experience and really enjoying it. And I go sit down. And I'm sitting down next to an elderly woman, and I'm just kind of small talking, saying, how, you know, how are you, whatever, whatever. And as I'm looking at my wife, she's with the little girls, and they're all singing, and my wife is doing... Well, after being married for 20 years, I know exactly what she's doing. She's like, look. And so I looked over to my right, and I see Ira Young. So for so many of you guys, Pastor Randy was somebody who sat across from you with an open Bible and basically just loved on you and taught you how to be a man of God, or used his voice to speak to many. And for me, I never got the pleasure of being under Pastor Randy other than reaping inside of the fruit of the trees that he planted so many years ago today to stand up here. But sitting with Ira Young was the greatest honor that I ever had, to sit up next to a man who's obviously going through dementia and looking at me. And so when I got up there, I just started crying. I grabbed him, I held him. I didn't know what to do. I started praying for him. And I just started loving on him. And the people around him were all looking at me like I was a crazy man. And I kept looking at him. I said, but you don't understand. This was the first man who ever sat across the desk from me at Red Laurel's 20, however many years ago, and basically taught me how to be a man of God. And for so many people in my life, and I'm sitting here, this guy's a, the legacy that you guys don't even know. I'm teaching at a Bible study for like 80 dudes or something. Like, you don't even know the man that's sitting here today. And Mr. Ira's just sitting there and just blank faced. And I'm just going, I mean, are you listening? Who this man is? And so basically, I just loved on him. I just honored him. I just thanked him, regardless if he could understand me or not. And all of a sudden he goes, and this is what y'all experienced with Pastor Randy that I haven't ever experienced. He goes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he just kept repeating, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I left there and I call Ginger. I look at my phone, his wife, and I'm trying to find her number. And I've got, like, you know, I don't know how many Gingers I know, but I'm like, this has got to be the only one. So I called Miss Ginger and I said, Ginger, I said, I just left Ira. She goes, you did? And I told her the story. And she goes, Eric. And I said, what? She says, you don't know this, but he has been struggling. The last week, he has really been struggling. And she said, he's been telling, the nurses are going, hey, there's something different about him. There's something. So Miss Ginger basically told me, she says, he just feels useless. He can't articulate those words. But in his actions, I just feel useless. I feel like there's nothing there. And I realized in that moment, divinely, by the power of God, to place me at that moment in the divine position to go and speak life into him and to honor him and to give him the praise and the glory that he deserved. I just want to say for all of those men who are strong men, the men of the Bible, the men of the world that have led us, that have invested in us, that continue to just speak life through us, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Randy. Thank you for what you've done. This has been a full year. This has been a tough year. But as we embark into 2025, I am excited about the journey. So I just want to share that with you. So if you guys ever feel necessary that you want to go and visit these guys, you just never know on the day that you show up and speak life into these men. It's exactly what they needed, right? All right. Here we go. I'm ready. God has had a message on my heart for a little while now. And turn with me. We're going to go to the Hebrews. That's what my wife likes to say in the morning. Hebrews means I go get coffee.
Eric Bruce.
All right, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. And I'm going to read from 7 to 15. And then I got a message that God has placed on my heart to share. So here we go. You ready? I'm out of NIV. In verse 7, it says this. So, as the Holy Spirit says, come Holy Spirit. Today, everybody say today.
Today.
If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. Everybody say today.
Today.
So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. And as has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. I'm going to look at my notes a little bit today because I really feel like God's placed some things that I want to share on my heart. And one is when we see the word today, I want you guys to recognize that what he's saying is today.
Yeah.
It's an urgency.
Yeah.
Even though God didn't put the GPS satellite in the skies to be able to keep time according to how the enemy manipulates it, God said today, tomorrow, and yesterday. And when he speaks, he wants us today. And I'm helping other men and going through this journey, what I recognize is there is a procrastination problem in our generation, especially with men. Procrastination is the grave in which opportunity is buried. For so many of us at work, we're willing to do what's necessary because we know if we don't do it, then it's going to pile up on us. And so at work, we go to work and we're like, hey, we need to stay on task. We need to get things done. We need to not procrastinate. But then we go home and we're not willing because we need a break. We need rest. We're not willing to do the same and implement the same rules. And so I think what God's saying is if you hear his voice, he wants you to move today in urgency. So delaying obedience to God's voice can lead to missed blessings or opportunities. I had a banker call me one day and said, hey, your line of credit at the business, we're downgrading you. This was in September of 2023 when things started getting tough. And he said, we're downgrading you. We're cutting off X amount of dollars. And I picked up that phone. I said, who do you think you are, Brian Collada? I said, come on. Are you kidding me right now? I said, wait a minute. You know what we... And I went off and me and her got into it. And I love her to death. She's been with me for 25 years. And so it's like that type of relationship. And I remember Donald calling me up and he says, Eric, he says, you ever heard of something called unknown blessings? And I said, no, what are you talking about?
You just got one.
He said, you just got an unknown blessing. Not listening to God's voice, we miss some of those blessings because we take on ourselves what we think is best for us. And there's really no other better story than the story that Hebrews 3 is referring to. So if you know Hebrews 3, you know that in the book of Hebrews, it's an unknown author. And it's all about making you clear who Jesus is in the hierarchy of the land, from Abraham to Moses. And we get to Jesus, and Jesus is greater than all of them, is what the book of Hebrews is really all about.
Yeah.
But we get to this chapter 3, and he's talking about unbelief. And the story that he's referring to is in the book of Numbers, specifically chapters 13 and 14. And if you care to go look, you're more than welcome to, but most of you know the story. As a matter of fact, there's a great episode, 3 episodes on Netflix that talks about this. So Moses and the Israelites escape out of Egypt, thankful to God placing the plagues on Pharaoh to get them out of the land. He saves them. The story shows, and you guys know the story, especially telling kids, is he lifts up his staff and he hits the ground and it separates the sea, and they're able to cross right when the Egyptians are about to overtake them. And he gets them to the other side. And so this miracle, this great miracle is performed to be able to get them out of slavery, get them out of bondage, get them out of the place that he had them when they were in Egypt. And so they go into the wilderness and they're en route to get to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. And so for 40 days, the Israelites are in the wilderness heading over to the land. And right before they get there, Moses sends out 12 spies. And he says to the 12 spies, he says, I want you to go out and I want you to go check out the land, Canaan. And he said, when you get there, he said, I want you to look around and I want you to check on a couple of things. One, is it bountiful? Are there resources? Because the promised land that had been spoken to Moses is he's taking him to the land of milk and honey. And so they, 12 spies, get to the top of the hill. And they look down at the hill, and what do they see? Some giants. They call them Anak. They said they're descendants from the Nephilim back in Genesis, whatever. And they said, these are huge men. There's no way that we can overtake them. There's no way that this land can be for us. And so the 12 spies go back to Moses and the people, and they say, there's no way. They're too big. He said, well, but you just brought back, and they say in the Bible that there was two men that were carrying a stick, and on the stick were grapes. Harvest time was in that season, and he said there was grapes that were overflowing. There was just, the resources were abundant. There was more than you could ever imagine, and they were holding the grapes, and the guys were holding the grapes going, but yeah, even though it is all the things that you say it is, we can't beat those guys. We can't defeat them. But there was two of them, Joshua and Caleb, my boys.
Yes.
My boys. Somebody needs to be a Joshua and a Caleb inside of this room, because the other 10 spies, and you know what it's a reminder of? I preach this all the time. It's my little thing that I talk about. There's a difference between good and great. The same rules that get you to good are not the same rules that get you to great. It's a different set of rules. If you play by the same rules, thinking that you're going to get to greatness, you're going to be sadly mistaken that what it takes to get out of good in order to get to great is not going to be the same as what it is to get you to good. Yeah. And these spies, there's only two of them that realized that greatness was on the other side of their trusting in God. You see, fear of what is possible is what stops us from taking the next step. It's the unbelief. It's the struggle that we all have. It's all based upon. And so the other day, I was with my mentor. And if any of you guys care for a title to a message, my title is called The Gift of Awareness. And I was with my mentor last week and we were talking and he looked at me and he said, Eric, I was telling him, I said, you know, thank you. It's the end of the year. I just want to be grateful and honoring him. And, you know, so many years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, I went to him not knowing what to do. I pulled my kids out of the education system and I decided I was going to educate my kids. Listen, if I get one book, Bible, let me see that Bible. I don't want to lift up my phone out of disrespect, but if I get one book to teach my kids for 18 years, I'll make a promise to you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, one book will always be greater than the 1,000 books of your kids in the education system goes.
Yes. Amen.
For your children and your grandchildren, I'm just not an education message.
We need to hear it.
But we pulled our kids out of the system, and I'm looking at them. I'm just going, I just want to thank you. I am living my best life. I am living my best life today. My business might not be where I want it to be. Our resources and finances may be not where we want it. But the reality is where we're at today in relationship with my wife, my marriage, my children, my family, the peace of God that has overcome our family. I am in the exact place that I'm just looking at. I'm going, I'm just so grateful. I'm just so thankful. And he said something to me. He goes, Eric, do you know that you have a gift? I was like, oh, yeah. He goes, you have the gift of awareness. And I went, well, that's a first. I never heard of a gift of awareness. Is that in the Bible somewhere? It's under gifts, you know, prophetic, evangelist. I didn't see awareness in there. And what he was saying was, he says, through observation, those spies were observing the land. And he said, you have a gift of awareness. You see, when we look back at our life and we go backwards, we can look at hindsight and go, oh, the way that happened, the way this happened. Boy, God moved in every single moment of my life through these years. And you look back and it's so easy to go, that's exactly what was going on. But when you're walking through these seasons of difficult times and you're in the wilderness and you can't see outside of the forest, let me tell you something. You got to trust in something greater than yourself. Mm-hmm. And what he was saying is you have a gift of awareness. And I'm going, all right, I'm down for it. But just like me, I said, well, with that gift must be some negatives. Because not all of it's positives. And that's where this story came in when I was reading it, going, that same gift of awareness of standing on top of that mountaintop, those 12 spies had a choice of whether or not they were going to go and invade that land and get what belonged to them and get to the promised land that God had promised them, or they will get scared and be in fear and be in the wilderness and not be able to see God's promises on the other side of the forest because they didn't trust necessarily in God. They trusted in themselves far much greater.
That's good.
And this message is about unbelief. This is what happened to these spies. And there's only two of them. And I'm quickly to remind you guys, we're living in a generation that 50% of marriages go through divorce. 50% of households have no father inside of them. We are living in a generation that healing is going to come, the revival is going to come through healing because of observation. So when I started to study the word observation and see what else God had for it, I started to really look around at it. And it says this. It comes from the Hebrew word shamar, which translates to observe, guard, or keep. See, the concept of observation aligns with the principles of mindfulness, intentionality, and discernment. Sometimes for many of us, we get to a place to where we could see things because of our relationship with God. Remember, the book of Hebrews and the writings were speaking to Christians who were Jewish believing Christians. It was Gentiles and Jews who he was speaking to. So these people knew who Jesus was. They knew who God was in their life. This isn't something brand new to them. This was a reminder to them that through our observation, if we're mindful, if we are intentional, and if we have great discernment, you can see what God's up to. But somehow or another, there's going to be a transition that must occur between going from good to great. And the reasons why we get stuck in good is because we trust in ourselves more than we trust in God. Observation is deeply connected from a spiritual awareness, and it's the pursuit of understanding God's will in creation. I have a 5-year-old at my house. His name's Emil. Thank you. Matter of fact, we had a Christmas party for one of the businesses yesterday, right there. And I brought my 5-year-old with me and the family, and he's sitting there. And has anybody got anything to say? My 5-year-old. You know. Put your damn hand down, boy. You always got something to say. But people that are around my 5-year-old look at him and they're like, man, he's so smart. He's so intelligent. He's gifted. And listen, all my children are uniquely made and gifted and children of God. But they keep saying my 5-year-old is like, there's something different about him. And I always say the same thing. He is a great observanist. He looks up at his 10-year-old sister. He looks up at his 11-year-old sister. He looks up at his 15-year-old brother. He looks up at his 46-year-old dad. And he looks up at his 42-year-old mother. And he is observing, and we are writing on a blank tablet of his life these experiences that will create his belief system.
That's good.
No wonder he's the smartest one in the family, because he's looking at all of our mistakes. He's looking at what his daddy does every morning. He's looking at what his grandpa do it every day. It's not that he's any smarter, and maybe he will be by God's grace. But the reality is that we all have a life that we have observed. And through our mindfulness and through our intentionality and through our discernment, the question just becomes, what you experienced in your past has written on your tablet your belief system that is default today. So today I'm going through life and I'm experiencing life, which is based upon the belief system of my past. The reason why I pulled the kids out of the education system, I'm not trying to convince. I don't want this to be me trying to do that. The reason why I did it, though, is because I'd rather be the one to write on the belief system of their tablet. Yes. I'd rather be the one to tell them what default's going to be when they get older. I want to teach them about money and how it operates. I want to teach them about spiritual things. I want to be the one to invest into these children. I don't want the world to do it. But you know what? We are all part of the world in the way we were raised. And there's a level of each of us inside of this room that every experience that you have today is going to get challenged against the belief system of what you experienced in the past. And what happens is that the default, the old belief system, becomes an anchor. And what happens in this anchor is that as we move away from it, if the anchor is not well connected into the ground, then it gets lifted. Now you're dragging an anchor. Has anybody had to drag anchors of their life and the weaknesses and the burdens of your past? How does that feel? And you get to a place to where you find Jesus, and all of a sudden you realize that he's the anchor, and you let go of yours, and you go, oh my God, I ain't got to carry around this thing anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
Your belief systems in your past are what's controlling your future. And what I want to tell you right now is that God's got a promised land for each of us.
Thank you, Lord.
A land of milk and honey, a place to go to, a respite, to where we can be with him in his presence and not have to be here in the world. But the challenge that you're going to battle, I don't care how old you are, from the oldest man in this room to the youngest man in this room, the battle that you face right now is every experience that you have in your marriage, in your business, in your parenting, whatever it is that you encounter today, you're going to have a belief system that's just going to be a mirror that you're going to look at and go, well, because I did this in the past, that means this is going to work, so I'm going to do that today. Oh, because I experienced this in the past, and because it was so painful, I'm going to do this today. Because of what I had to go through, I'm never going to go through that crap again. So therefore, I'm doing it this way.
Yeah, that's good.
And what my challenge for you today is, men, to watch and be careful that you're not standing on top of the mountaintop observing Canaan, looking at the promised land that God has for you going, that's some big old giants down there. We're gonna go back over here. Because you know why? You know what happens? God didn't take the Israelites back to Egypt and put them back in slavery or bondage. What did he do to them? Those 40 days turned into 40 years in the wilderness. God loves them so much that he didn't bring them back to the place. He kept them saved. The problem is they remained in good and never experienced great.
That's good, Aaron.
My challenge to every man inside of this room is to deconstruct your belief systems. Deconstruct your perspective. We call it reframing. I'm going to reframe this home because the frame that was there originally has some faults in it, right, Beasley? In architecture, we needed the foundation to be right, but it wasn't built right. So we got to go back and we got to reframe in order to have our stronger foundation, because the more that we build, the higher we go, the higher levels that we go, the more it's going to fail us. Deconstruct your belief systems so therefore you can pick up God's belief systems according to the word of God and stand upon that rather than standing upon yours. I want to share with you three things as we close out. The first one is, as we end the year, which I thought was pretty good, is every year, like most of you guys, we do a word of the year. I never did this before, but of course I married my wife and she's like, what's your word of the year? I'm like, I don't know, in the beginning. And then eventually by the 20th year, I'm like, I'll start praying in December. I'm like, what's my word of the year? But you know, my word of the year for this year was sober. I got that word and I'm going, sober? I don't even really like to drink. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I know he's not trying to speak to me through that way. So I started studying the word sober. Spiritually, when you read the word sober, what it means is attuned, in alignment, alert to the Holy Spirit, aware of what the Holy Spirit is saying, to be connected, one with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And every day, that's the game for me. Is to wake up every single day and realize, do you know today I woke up this morning late and I get up and I'm just, you know, doing my normal routine. I get into the word. I start just kind of trying to listen to the voice of God, just, you know, declutter everything so he could just speak to me is what I normally do. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden these old feelings and these old emotions of situations that have happened this year in business that cost me so much money and some of the people that were attached to it. And all of a sudden I start sweating and I'm going, and I start to realize that this is what it feels like to be connected to old belief systems, that if you don't not trust them, what they do is overtake you in your mind, and then you react out of them rather than reacting out of whatever God has in store for you.
Ooh, that's good.
So for a second there, I had to go, all right, if I would see him, I'd punch him in his face. No, that's just a Jesus thing. If I would see her, I wouldn't even talk to her. So I had to process, and then I go, what you want, God? Oh, just forgiveness. Oh, and this is what he told me. This is so good. He said, you should be thankful for those people.
Amen.
Yeah.
He says, you can't see the promised land that you're heading towards, but they needed to play the role that they had to play in order for you to play the role that you're going to play. Yeah. So the people that you're pissed off of, the people you want to punch, the people you want to ignore, those are the people you should be thanking God for.
Amen.
The second thing that really helps me challenge my belief systems is a moment that happened for me in a deer blind this year in January on a stand called The Bridge. I don't share this story much. There's probably only one of you guys inside of here that's ever heard this story. But inside The Bridge stand, had an encounter with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's happened to me 3 or 4 times where the Holy Spirit, the overtaking of the Holy Spirit, I wish I could stay in this place, but the Holy Spirit just came over me to a point to where it flooded me. And I remember the voice of God telling me this. He said, be the cameraman. Be the cameraman. And I'm going, you know, I love God, but it's like, can you give me a little bit more? Be the cameraman. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I know exactly what it means. I know exactly what it means. You know why? You know why the Elder Ira story comes into play with this story? And I didn't even realize this until Sunday. I'm sitting there with that camera and I'm filming those kids and I'm filming my wife. And listen to me, any other situation, if anything, I want my wife's phone I want to throw it through the wall sometimes. I'm like, get off your phone.
No.
But you know what? She takes more photos. She takes more videos. She records more things. And you know what we do? When we go on trips, it's a ritual. I'm sure some of you guys do this as well. We sit down and we start looking through old photos and old videos of all the kids in the past 20 years and these memories of where we were in these seasons and where we've gone to and the age of the kids and the growing up. And we look at it and we're so thankful. And I'm so grateful that I have those things. But if it was up to me, I would have none of them. I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of my phone, let alone try to take photos and videos and capture every single moment. But what God was telling me that day was to be a cameraman. What he was saying is you need to be behind the camera filming what I am putting in front of you. And you know what it does for me? It's like that moment sitting in this community center, in this nursing home. And I'm sitting there, and I remember so vaguely. I'm sitting there because I didn't see Elder Ira yet. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, I'm doing the videos, and I've learned, you know, I'm doing it high. I'm taking pictures in different ways just in case my wife wants to post it on social media. I'm like pulling back, I'm pulling in. I saw those videos that fit on my camera. And when I put it down, I was so proud of just embracing the moment. It's so easy in life to disconnect from the present and just reflect rather than be engaged. Getting home with a 5-year-old at 46 years old is the greatest honor of my life to walk in and build a Lego castle with him. I get home tonight, on the agenda is to build a cylinder block house out of these cylinders I got in the backyard. Let me tell you something. The last thing I want to do when I get home is to go build a cylinder block house with my 5-year-old. Yeah. That's not going to last more than 3 minutes for him to be inside of it. But you know what it does? It creates a memory that will last eternally. And that's what God wants for you and I.
Yes.
In the present, today,
yes,
by listening to his voice. And the last thing, the third thing, is that when you look at this story and you read about the promised land, when he talked about rebellion and he said, today, don't harden your hearts on the voice of God, listen to the voice of God. He talked about giving you rest. He said that when you get to the promised land, another word they called for it was rest. So I went back and I looked at what that word meant, and it's pronounced in the Greek, kartapausis. Mm-hmm. I broke that down 3 times to be able to like say it the right way the first time. And it means this. It points to a place of blessing where there is no more striving, but only relaxation in the presence of God and in the certainty that there is no cause for fear.
Wow.
No more striving. No more striving. Embrace every single moment. Be sober-minded so you're in direct connection with God and the Holy Spirit, so you're one with him. So if you hear his voice, you know exactly what to do today. Be sober-minded. Be attuned to the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the difference between the 2 spies and the 10 spies is the 2 knew that they had something more powerful inside of them than they could ever possess. That what they were going to do is when they went down there, they had God with them. They had Jesus with them. What looked like they couldn't get through, They had the Father who had it already promised to them. It was the other 10 who allowed fear, scarcity, poverty, shame, guilt, all to keep them away from the place of rest. And I don't know about you, but I've experienced this place. I try to live in this place every day. God wasn't talking about the land. What he was saying, it was in our minds.
Yes.
To be in direct connection with him, to restore back to homeostasis, exactly the way we were created, that in the garden, in chapter 2, we were one with God. Prior to sin, that there was nobody else we needed. There was nothing that we needed. There was no resources that we needed. Just us and God was enough. Everything that we needed was in him. That's the place of rest that we're talking about. The place that the striving ends. For you young man in business, it'll work itself out. It'll work itself out. Trusting something greater. What you're going through today is a prerequisite. Start being grateful for it. Start being thankful for it. Start giving it the honor that it deserves rather than looking at people and wanting to tell them that they... Thank God for them. Thank God for those two people. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be at the place that I am today. I may not like it, but according to the hill, I could see the promised land. It's full of milk and honey. The grape clusters are abundant, and that's for all of us inside of our thoughts, inside of our minds, to be one with God. Our circumstances don't have to be what we expect them to be. The man with the most expectations has the least amount of peace.
Oh, that's good.
Man with the most expectations. Your expectations come from your belief system. Based upon your belief system, you go before God and you put expectations. And when things don't work according to your expectations, you have no peace. So you have to do something to get peace. We want to go backwards. We want to get to a resting place with God and realize that you are in the promised land. You are exactly where you're supposed to be, men of God. He has you here. Be thankful. Be grateful. It may not be what you want. It may not be what you think you want. But he has you exactly where he wants you. Yeah. You receive that?
Yes. Amen.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Let me pray for us and then we'll break. Father, I just pray for every man that's inside of this room. I pray for every souls, all the souls that are represented by these souls. I pray that we protect our marriages. You put a hedge of protection around them, that you build our marriages up, that two become one, that you draw them closer into a more intimate place with their spouses. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing inside of their marriages. Bless them, heal them, protect them, break them so you can heal them. Thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for every child that's represented inside of this room, that you put your hedge of protection around each of them, that you will light them their paths, God. Give them great mindfulness, intentionality, and great discernment, Father. Even if they don't have it, you go before them to protect them, to keep them, to be able to bring them into the promised land. So we pray for every grandchild and every great grandchild that's inside of this room, Father, that you would cover them with your blessings, the promises that you have over each of them. God, we thank you for what you're up to. We thank you for this place, and we thank you more right now, God, for this year, for every man that has gone before us. Years past, for Pastor Randy, for Elder Ira, for all of the men that are not announced, God, that you went before them to make them your vessel to invest into us. So, God, we're grateful for that. We honor that. We give you the glory and the honor. And it's in your Son Jesus' mighty and powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.